9 years ago, the United Nations created an international tribunal to prosecute genocide and other crimes against humanity in the former Yugoslavia. By punishing war criminals, the UN hoped to foster stability and even reconciliation between ethnic groups. So far, the UN tribunal has convicted 27 men for war crimes. But not all the tribunal's cases have ended in long jail terms. Michael Montgomery of American Radio Works reports on one Bosnian community that was still confused and bitterly divided after a war crimes trial.
Please be seated.
Mr. Ahmic, I only have two or three questions now, and they're also difficult questions.
The scene, a somber courtroom at the United Nations War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Three men face each other, two defendants, neatly dressed men in their 30s, and the witness, a small gray-haired man. Between them is American prosecutor Albert Moskowitz.
Could you look around the room and see if you can identify Zoran Kupreskic?
Да, можем. Zoran Kupreskic, сели с одесной стороны.
May the record reflect, he's identified Zoran Kupreskic.
Prosecutor Moskowitz asks his questions in English. The men listen on headphones to a translator.
Were these the two men who were in your house on April 16, 1993, while your family was killed before your eyes?
Yes, says the elderly witness, Sakib Ahmic. He stands and points to the accused, Zoran Kupreskic, and his brother Mirjan.
When he pointed to us and said, "Those are the killers of my children," it's like my legs were cut from under me. I couldn't believe it.
The UN Tribunal was created to make moments like this possible, a place where victims of atrocities tell their stories and the alleged perpetrators face an impartial panel of judges. But imposing justice from afar is never easy or certain. Not even in the case of one of Bosnia's most notorious massacres.
Good evening. British UN soldiers have stumbled on a terrible example of the cruelty of the civil war in Bosnia. They found a Muslim village that had been totally destroyed, apparently by Croats. Nothing had been left alive.
The war in Bosnia was in its 13th month in April 1993 when UN peacekeepers discovered the smoking ruins of Ahmici, a tiny village in the rolling farmland of central Bosnia where both Muslims and Croats lived.
What happened here can frankly not be shown in any detail.
In a house just behind the village mosque were the remains of five members of Sakib Ahmic's family, including his three-month-old grandson.
The soldiers came in. They were in uniform and had their faces painted, and in a few seconds shot them all. Then they poured gasoline and set fire to the houses.
Ahmic fainted, but before he did, he got a glimpse of the gunmen.
They wore black uniforms. Their faces were painted, but I recognized them. They grew up here.
They were the Kupreskic brothers, ethnic Croats who lived next door. When Ahmic came to, he was severely burned and wounded. He managed to escape through a bedroom window. Around 100 people, men, women, and children, were killed in Ahmici. Some were burned alive. Civilian killings were happening all over the region, but because television crews managed to enter the devastated village, the massacre at Ahmici drew worldwide attention. It also caught the attention of the newly created UN Tribunal, which dispatched investigators. 2 years later, prosecutors indicted 10 Bosnian Croats for killings and deportations in Ahmici and other towns.
Your Honor, the case over which you and Judge Riad and Judge Shabudin will preside is a case about how Bosnian Croat military forces ethnically cleansed parts of
the trials opened at The Hague in 1997. Prosecutors planned two types of trials, one for the higher-ups, who either ordered the attacks or should have punished the men responsible, and another series for the ground-level gunmen who did the killing. Sakib Ahmic was a key witness in both prosecutions. Unlike many survivors who testified anonymously for fear of reprisals, Sakib agreed to confront the defendants openly. "Let them fear me," he told the court. But all the defendants maintained their innocence. Mirjan Kupreskic says he and his brother were not in the village during the attack. Mirjan says his Muslim neighbor Sakib was desperate to blame anyone for the killings.
"I was very good friends with his son Nasser, and when Nasser's son was born, he came over to our place with drinks to honor his new child. Can you imagine that 3 months later they're dead and I'm accused of their murder?
The defense exposed inconsistencies in Saqib's testimony. For example, bullet casings found at the scene did not match the kind of weapon Saqib described the Kupreshkich brothers carrying. As the trial of the Kupreshkich brothers ground on for 2 years, tribunal prosecutor Albert Moskowitz grew worried.
This was an eyewitness case, and we had to establish that Saqib and the other witnesses could in fact identify in court the people that they're accusing were, you know, in their homes 5 years earlier shooting and killing everybody. What we didn't have and what we desperately needed were folks from the other side.
Only Saqib and his granddaughter say they saw the Kupreshkich brothers shoot people, though others reported seeing the brothers at the scene. But these eyewitnesses were all Muslims. What prosecutor Albert Moskowitz desperately needed was the testimony of local Croats who were in the village during the attack.
One of the great frustrations in doing a case like this in the tribunal was that the factions are so polarized that it was virtually impossible to get a person from the Croat community to come in and say, yeah, here's what happened. And, you know, any kind of prosecution like this, you really can't expect to get a conviction without some corroboration, particularly from someone on the inside.
Down the corridor in Tribunal Courtroom 1, the parallel cases against senior Bosnian Croat officials responsible for the region around Akhmeci were also unfolding. In going after these so-called big fish, prosecutors used a legal strategy developed at the trials of German and Japanese leaders after the Second World War. Command responsibility.
When you're dealing especially with military commanders and leaders, it's not particular acts that they've been involved in, but it's a criminal design or plan. In this case, ethnic cleansing of, you know, the entire region.
Paya Makavan is a lawyer who investigated the Akhmeci massacre for the UN. He says the concept of command responsibility holds a commander or political leader responsible for the actions of subordinates, even if they did not order the crimes. That means that prosecutors can get a conviction without evidence of direct involvement in specific crimes. In looking for the big fish who ordered the attack, Akhavan discovered evidence that the attacking troops wore the insignia of the HVO, the Bosnian Croat Army. So he paid a visit to the regional HVO colonel, a man named Tihomir Blokšić.
And I repeatedly asked him, are you the commander of HVO forces in the region? To which he answered, yes. Are you in control of this area? To which he answered, yes. And I said, well, how could a company size group of soldiers, 100 to 150 soldiers, engage in a several-hour-long assault on a village involving several hundred casualties, involving the use of mortar and machine guns and so on and so forth. How could you not know about it?
Blokšić's office was just 2 miles from Akhmeci, but the commander claimed he had no idea who carried out the attack. Though Akhavan's interview did not prove that Blokšić ordered the attack, it established that the colonel knew about the atrocities and had time to investigate and punish the men responsible. In early 2000, the tribunal began issuing judgments in both sets of trials.
Indisputably, what happened on the 16th of April 1993 in Akhmeci has gone down in history as comprising one of the most vicious illustrations of man's inhumanity to man.
The court convicted Tihomir Blokšić and a senior Bosnian Croat political leader of murder, forced deportation, and other crimes against humanity because they knew about the crimes but ignored their obligation to investigate. The court sentenced Blokšić to a stiff 45 years in prison. But the trials of the men accused of doing the actual killing were going in a different direction. The tribunal sentenced the Kupreshkich brothers to 10 years in prison for aiding and abetting the attack, but ruled that there was not enough evidence for a murder conviction. Late last year, an appeals chamber threw out the judgment, in part due to lack of credible testimony. The brothers were released. Prosecutor Moskowitz.
It was very depressing. What can I say? I mean, we spent so much time bringing witnesses in and persuading them to come and testify, and only to have the convictions reversed. I just felt very badly for the community and for the victims that had come forward.
The Kupreshkich case exposed one of the tribunal's major weaknesses, getting credible eyewitness testimony. Such testimony was not essential at the trials of the Bosnian Croat leaders because prosecutors used a complex web of indirect evidence. That's why prosecuting leaders and commanders may be the best any international court can do.
In domestic society, then, we think any person who commits a crime deserves to be punished.
Gary Bass is an expert on international justice at Princeton University.
When you're dealing with war crimes, you're never going to be able to have that kind of perfect accountability. So you're left with this kind of symbolic nature. I still think it's important, but I don't think we should kid ourselves that you can, you know, that you can say, oh, look, we've set up a war crimes tribunal and, you know, we've dealt with it, we've solved it.
This year, a bitterly divided community commemorated April 16th, the day of the Akhmeci massacre. Thousands of Muslims climbed up a grassy knoll to the cemetery where the victims were buried 9 years ago. There they listened to a man reading the names of Akhmeci's dead.
Hajra Akhmeć, udovica Besimova, 73.
On the same day and just across the main road from Akhmeci, local Croats staged their own commemoration at the foot of a huge neon cross. They prayed not for the Muslims killed at Akhmeci, but for Croats killed in the civil war. It was a provocative act and meant to be. In Akhmeci, many villagers say justice has not been served in spite of the convictions of Bosnian Croat leaders. They want the actual killer sent to jail. For Sakib Akhmeć, the outcome of the trials hardened his hatred of Croats.
In my opinion, they are all guilty because not one Croat helped to protect Muslims here.
Sakib's daughter Shukreta says she feels abandoned by the court and outraged that the tribunal never bothered to explain why the Kupreškić brothers were released.
As if dogs were killed, not people. I'm speechless as to why no one had a sense to come and explain why they were released. Why? In what way? How is it that war criminals can be released?
Zoran and Mirjan Kupreškić, the former defendants, are unemployed and living off charity with their families in rented apartments 2 miles from Akhmeci. The brothers say they want Muslims and Croats to reconcile, but Zoran Kupreškić says the tribunal produced nothing but injustice for Croats, and he and his brother are suing the court for wrongful imprisonment.
The problem is that because the court prosecuted innocent people like us and others, it has completely lost the confidence of Croats. Everyone knows we were prosecuted as Croats, not as criminals. In the end, they chose the people they could get, not those who were guilty.
The case of the Kupreškić brothers convinced many local Croats that the Bosnian Croat leaders convicted in The Hague are also innocent. Those men are still being held in the tribunal's detention facility, but they are not yet serving their long prison terms. They are appealing their convictions. One Muslim who publicly defends the Kupreškić brothers is Mehmed, a cafe owner who lost 16 relatives in the massacre. Mehmed says the tribunal failed almost everyone in Akhmeci, Muslims and Croats.
4 years after our return here, we still don't know the truth. My relative thinks his neighbor killed his father. This neighbor, knowing that he is suspected, is afraid and doesn't sleep at night. That's what we have here. It's not justice, but a balance of fear.
Public opinion polls show that most ethnic Serbs and Croats, and even some Muslims in Bosnia, do not support the tribunal. Former tribunal prosecutor Albert Moskowitz is not surprised by this hostility. He says it would be impossible for any court to heal all the wounds of war, but Moskowitz says the tribunal was successful in Akhmeci because it jailed the leaders.
Any reasonable person looking from afar, you know, would say that this is a good measure of justice as to what happened in those villages, including Akhmeci. But if you're a villager in Akhmeci, trying to rebuild your life, and all you know is that your husband and your brother and your mother had been murdered by people who are still walking around, claiming that this was a defensive operation, you know, that's cold comfort.
There will be no more Akhmeci-style prosecutions at the UN tribunal. Last month, the UN Security Council endorsed tribunal plans to focus almost solely on high-level officials. Prosecutors say they must concentrate on getting the leaders of the wars in former Yugoslavia if they are to complete trials on schedule within 6 years. tribunal officials would like to hand off cases against lower-level war criminals to a special court in Bosnia, but they say it may take years before that court reaches international standards for fairness and independence. I'm Michael Montgomery for NPR News and American Radio Works.
American Radio Works is the documentary project of NPR News and Minnesota Public Radio. There's more about this story on our website, npr.org.